some help. I'm in Leviticus chapter 2, and I do ask you to, if you just keep your Bible open in your lap, I'm going to go to a couple of different places. But we came over for the surgery, so I thought I'd pinch Brother Bez if he'd let me preach for him, so he's kind enough to give me his pulpit. That's always a blessing. I've been hoboing around for about 40 years now. I'm in Leviticus chapter 2. About 2 years ago, I got C.H. McIntosh's works and just started working my way through the Bible. I started over the book of Genesis. I wanted to get a little bit more out of it than what I was just reading. And when I got to the book of Leviticus, that's as far as I got. And I've been in it and preaching in it now for about 2 years. And I just can't seem to get out of it. It was the book of the law. It was the book that God gave the children of Israel 1 year out of Egypt. And they were going to use this book to get them through 40 years till they crossed Chile Jordan into the promised land. And it still says a whole lot to you and I as we make our way towards our Jordan to go into our promised land. Leviticus chapter 2, and when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priest, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof and of the oil thereof with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor. The savor comes from a word, breath. The breath of God was to be upon it. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. 65 years ago, I was standing on the front steps of the Texas Pythian Home for Children in Weatherford, Texas. I was a 8-year-old boy. My mama was raising me and my little brother on a beer joint floor in Nashville, Tennessee. And I can still, in my mind, I can still go back 60-something years ago, and I can still remember playing with the beer bottle caps on that beer joint floor. I can still remember dancing with the drunks on that beer joint floor. I can remember the fights that went on in my house as a little bitty boy. Violent fights. I can remember the gun battles. My mama ran with a bunch of men and they got into a gunfight one day, and there was a young man in that group they ran with, and his nickname was Preacher. And I remember Preacher, when them guns started going off, Preacher grabbed me and my little brother under his arms and he ran and he threw us down on the ground and laid on top of us. I remember going to bed on those cold nights without any pajamas and hardly anything to cover up with. I remember the cops coming in the house, sitting us down as little boys and questioning us. But on a July day, my father came back from Japan and he took us out of that world. He took us out of that lifestyle. He saved us, you might say. And he put us in that orphan's home that's in Weatherford, Texas, still there today. The first 6 years of my life, I was raised in a one-room schoolhouse. We had an old teacher named Miss Gracie. Meanest old gal you ever seen in your life. I can still remember she'd take us kids and she'd take her thumb and she'd put it on my lower lip and pull my lip all the way down to my kneecaps just to see if I had brushed my teeth before I come to school. I remember all the farm work. We had 14 acres of farm work. And I wish I could put a slide of my mind up on the walls that I can still see here today. I can still see that 200-acre peach orchard that we had. I can still see that chicken house that's got 1,000 chickens in there. I can still see the horse barn where Maudie and Trigger and Star and Banjo were all. We fed them every evening. I can still remember the calf pen where we put all the baby calves. I still remember the bull pen where we had an old Jersey bull named Hercules. I still remember the old cow barn where we milked 50 heads of Jersey cows every morning and every evening. I still remember the hog pen. I still remember the sheep pen, the steers. I still remember the peanut fields that we had to work and the corn fields and the hay fields where we had to bale all the hay for all the animals during the whole winter. I remember that huge garden that we had to work in and hoe and pick, and we put everything up and we'd eat on it all year round. I still remember all that just like it was yesterday. But of all the things that I remember about that home, the thing that I carried with me that is still with me today, that when us 100 children came into that dining room, we all would come in and we'd all stand behind our chairs. And then we'd listen to the old man say, "Let us pray." And I can still remember listening to 100 orphan children pray. And this is the prayer that we prayed 3 times a day from the time I was 8 years old until the time I was 19. But we all bowed our heads and we all prayed in unison and we all said, "Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these and all other blessings for Christ's sake. Amen." And I prayed that prayer every day, every meal for 11 years. And that prayer dripped. One drop at a time, one meal at a time, that prayer dripped down into my heart. And 9 years after I left that orphan's home, I walked into the Langwood Baptist Church on the north side of Houston, Texas. God Almighty saved my soul that day. Saved my soul. He took me out of that old sinful life. He delivered me. He changed my life. And I can remember going home that June day, and I can remember getting down on my knees like it was yesterday. And I can still remember saying, "Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me." And I just said it over and over. That's all I knew how to pray. But I knew that God had saved my soul. And I just wanted to thank God for it. And so the children of Israel in the book of Leviticus, they've been in hard bondage down in Egypt. They've been orphans down in Egypt land. Their life was hard. Hard rigor, the Bible said. It had been hard for them. They were in bitter bondage. The burdens of sorrows and sufferings. Stripes and scars that were laid upon them by those taskmasters that they carried with them all the way to Jordan. And the Bible said they prayed unto the God of heaven. And the children of Israel were delivered and saved and rescued out of that hard world. And they were brought out of all that misery and all that bitterness and all those burdens. And God had saved the children of Israel. And so the Lord of glory that day that He brought them out of Egypt, He began a good work in them. A good work. And He was going to perform that work for the next 40 years until they crossed Jordan into the promised land. In Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 4, He gave them a day of atonement. He gave them a salvation. And He said in verse number 2, He said, if any one of you will just come, bring a sacrifice and come into the courts and come before the tabernacle. In verse 4, he shall put his hands upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement. That was the day that any one of those children of Israel that were brought out of that camp wanted to come into that courtyard and be saved and born again and accepted by God and receive the atonement. That was the day it all began. That was the day they left the camps for the courts. The day they laid their hands upon that sacrifice that would shed its precious blood. That was the day that he began living for God. That was the day he began walking with God. That was the day that the sweet savor, the breath of God, was blowed upon him. Paul would say it like this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He said, he began a good work in you. And that's the day of atonement. That's the day you get saved. That's the day you get born again. But the rest of that verse said, he shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That God just doesn't save you and turn you loose. That God begins to work in your life day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. He works in your life until you cross Jordan into the promised land. So now the Lord has brought him out. Now the Lord has brought him to the altar. So now the Lord begins to teach him. This whole book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 11, he uses the word, he taught them this book. The last verse of Scripture in Leviticus 13, he taught them this book. So he has to teach them. They've been down in Egypt for 400 years. They didn't know nothing about God. They forgot Joseph and Joseph's God. So now he's going to teach them how to live for him. Now he's going to teach them how to walk with him. Now he's going to teach them how to walk in the light as he is in the light. He's going to teach them how to trust him with their life. He's going to teach them what is clean and what is unclean. And he's going to teach them how to pray. He's going to teach them to stop in the course of their day and just look towards heaven. And they're going to say, Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these and all of the blessings for Christ's sake. Amen. You see, Leviticus chapter 2 and those first three verses that we read, that's the first lesson that he teaches them after they get saved. It's the first offering that he teaches them to bring to him after they get saved. You see, a child is born once. A child's not born again and again and again. A child is born one time. And after he's born, now you have to take him and train him and teach him. God help the boy who doesn't have no training and teaching in his life. So now he trains them. And he teaches them. The Lord brought them out of Egypt, and now he begins to teach them how to live for him in the great and terrible wilderness. The atonement, the day you get saved, begins a lifetime work of God in your life. And the benefits are daily. He loadeth us with those benefits daily. The atonement is a great, the day of salvation, the day of forgiveness is great, but oh, there is so much more. So much more. You get the best of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 16, he said he wanted to do thee good. That God wants to take every man, every woman, boy and girl, and he wants to do them good. If they'll just live for Him, He'll do you good. Paul would say it. He said, Paul would say, all things work together for good to them that love God. You get the bowels of mercy. Paul said, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, you get forgiven, He sheds all that glory into your heart. And you talk about a love for God that you never have. It's birthed into that soul to love God. And the blessings of God come like a gentle rain upon you all your days if you stay close to Him. So the offerings of the book of Leviticus are the benefits of the atonement. Because all the offerings follow the atonement. If you don't get saved, you're not going to get no benefits. So after the atonement, He lays out all these offerings of peace and with your sins and all those things. The offerings are the sanctifying work of the Holy Ghost of God. So the meat offering, first offering, the first thing He teaches them, before He teaches them about sin, before He teaches them about peace and fellowship and worship, the first offering He teaches them is about being devoted and being thankful for what He's done for them. First thing He teaches you when you get born again, He wants to teach you to be thankful for everything, who He is and what He's done. And you have to teach children. These are the children of Israel. And you have to teach children to be thankful. Because we're not a thankful bunch. Our nature is not one of thankfulness. Thankfulness doesn't come natural. We're greedy. It's our nature. We're greedy. We're selfish. We don't like what we have. We always want something else. We want what we don't have. We're never satisfied. That's the nature of every one of us. We never like what we always want something else. Always want to get something new. We're never really thankful. And God wanted them to know what He had done for them. And if He knew that if they knew what God had done for them, He would be thankful. They would be thankful to Him. The Lord went down to Egypt. They were down there in misery. And the Lord went down into Egypt and He fought for them. He fought for them. He said, "You let my people go." He rained fire down upon that nation. He said, "You turn them loose. I'll destroy every one of you." He said, if you don't let my children go. He sent bugs on them. Flies and fleas and grasshoppers. Let my people go. He shed blood for them. He killed things. Things died. God went down there and fought for those children. You don't think God didn't fight for your soul? You don't think there wasn't a heavy price paid for the salvation you enjoy? It didn't come cheap. He held up the walls of the Red Sea. And there's a miracle that they was able to march out under the power of God and march free in freedom, delivered out of Egypt. It's a miracle that you sit here saved. An absolute miracle. You couldn't have done it yourself. So He brings them out into the wilderness world. He gets them out there, and every time the waters got bitter, He made them sweet. Every time the trials came, He got in the middle of it. Bitter waters, He'd take a little stir stick, put a little sugar in there. He said, I know you don't like this bitter water. I'm going to give you some sweet water. He knew every one of us had a sweet tooth, so He gave them honey out of the rock. We all need a dessert. He rained down manna out of heaven. He said, "I want to make sure you got something to eat." He fed them every day. Every morning they got up and stepped out of those tents. There was food. Most of the time they didn't even thank Him for it. They just walked out and it was there. We never thank. I'll get there in a minute. He gave them a man of wisdom to guide them through the wilderness. He gave them the presence of God. All they had to do was just look up, and there was that cloud by day. And that told them God was there. Just had to look up at fire by night, and it told them God was with them. God was with them every day that they went through that wilderness. He protected them from the enemies. He fought with them, fought for them. Then He gave them laws. He said, I'm going to give you some laws that will keep you clean. I'm going to give you some laws that will tell you what's unclean. I'm going to give you some laws that tells you what I like and what I don't like. And so this meat offering, which is just a few verses past the atonement. The atonement's in 1:4. And I mean, it's just a few more verses, and all of a sudden they're bringing that meat offering. The meat offering don't have no blood in it. It's given of the substance for the substance God had given them. And when they brought that meat offering to God, they were saying, Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these and all of the blessings for Christ's sake. Amen. Did you know in Numbers chapter 4, The meat offering was, God told them, He said, I want it daily. He said, every day I want you to bring me that meat offering. Every day I want to hear you say that you're thankful. That you want to thank me for what I've done. In Numbers chapter 29, He said the meat offering was continual. He said, I never want you to stop doing it for the rest of your life. It's continual. Continually, I want you to come to me and thank me for what I've done for you. In Numbers chapter 28, He said every morning, daily, continual, every morning I want your day to start with a meat offering. Every morning I want you to come and thank me for all that I've done for you. That meat offering was the thankfulness unto God. The book of Leviticus was written 1 year out of Egypt. This is the book they carried all the way through them. They were taught the first year they were saved to be thankful unto God. You see, being thankful to God and coming to Him every day, it'll keep you from idols. It'll keep you from worshiping creatures. It'll keep you from worshiping creation. It'll keep you from worshiping birds and beasts and animals of fur, and changing His glory into things in creation. If you take the Creator out of creation, then you got no one to thank. So if you got no one to thank, you become unthankful. And you know what happens to you when you become unthankful? Just read Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 will tell you what's going to happen to you if you don't thank God for all that He has done. I mean, a mother and a father that gives a child everything, they do want some return. They want a child to be thankful, respectful. God expects the same out of you and I. Paul says over in Romans 1, he said iniquity. You know what happens? You become unthankful. You become unclean. You become lustful. These are Paul's words. He said you'll dishonor your body. Unthankfulness, people that are not thankful unto God will dishonor their body. They put things on it, put things in it, hang things off of it. They dishonor their body. He said they have vain imagination. They'll act insane. You ever looked at our country today? Have you ever scratched your head and say, what are they thinking? Are they just insane? The things people believe today. Unthankfulness. Ignorance. They become fools. Their foolish heart is darkened. And those are just the things that follow unthankfulness. They lose a God conscience. Because the thing that God told them all the way through their journey in the wilderness and all the way through the book of Leviticus, He says, I am holy, be ye holy. And people today have forgotten that God is holy. God is holy. And Paul said in Romans 1:21, he said, neither were they thankful. So I want you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and I want you to follow with me this last portion of my sermon. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy is the book that right before they crossed over, Moses reminded them of everything God had done for them. They call it the second book of the law, but it wasn't the book they carried through the wilderness. Leviticus is what they carried through. Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy, was reminding them what God had done for them. I would think the people of God need to be reminded from time to time. We become unmindful and we become unthankful. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, look in verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He said, don't forget me. Don't forget me. He said, for 40 years, every day of your journey, every day of your pilgrimage, I led thee. You know what's going to happen? You're going to come down to old age one day, and you're going to look back on your journey, and you're going to say, you know something? God was with me. God watched over me. God made sure I had something to eat. God was good to me for 40 years. The Lord thy God, He led thee. He led me. The Lord thy God, He never left them. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He'll supply your every need. Whatever the trials might be, a child of God can look towards heaven. He said, you remember I took you through, I led you. I'm the one that gave you this life. Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these and all of the blessings. For Christ's sake, amen. Did you know at that orphan's home, from the time I was 8 to the time I was 19, the breakfast was always at 6:30 in the morning. We milked the cows, we slopped the hogs, and then we came to the breakfast table. And at 6:30 every morning for those 11 years of my life. You know how I began my day? Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these and all of the blessings. For Christ's sake, amen. I started my day thanking God. And every time I even say that prayer, every time, every morning, my mind, I'm fixing to be 73. I can go back and be a kid again. Standing in an orphan's room's dining room and saying, Heavenly Father, and all of a sudden I'm a child again. Realizing that God was going to take care of me from then to now, and from now looking back, He's done a pretty good job. Look at verse 4. I'm still in Deuteronomy 8. He's reminding them what He's done. Thy raiment wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thank God for clothes. Have you took a look at yourself lately? Have you took a look at the cracks and crevices and curves and you just said, whoa, Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these, all the wrinkles and spotches and blemishes and marks and pimples and bumps. Airbrush it quick. Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these clothes and all of the blessings. For Christ's sake, amen. My God in heaven, you know, in our society, they're taking it off, and every time you take a good look at it, you want to say, put it on! In verse 7, look at verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water. God's going to make sure, child of God, that you got clothes every day. First thing he did when he walked down into that garden and saw Adam and Eve naked, he clothed them. And he wants his children clothed. And it's just the holiness of God. Clothes are the holiness of God. He wants us clothed. In verse 7, he said, he cometh into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths, and springs out of the valley and hills. We never give thought when we turn that faucet on and get a drink of cold water. God said, I gave that to you. We get a bottle of water. We never think that God gave us that. God, we've never had to even think about water. It was just always there. So how's that to be? God. God knew you can't do without water. And He made sure that you have water to drink every day. He made sure that you've got a water to wash these clothes. You ever just wore your clothes about 3 or 4 days and take a whiff? Heavenly Father. And then, to shower and bathe this old nasty flesh. You say, I'm not nasty. Go 3 days without bathing and then argue with me. Heavenly Father, accept our thanks. Next time you get in the shower and you're just washing all that stench and body odor off, say, Heavenly Father, accept our thanks. God brought them into that land and He wanted them to know, I'm going to make sure you have water. He supplies our every need. And all you got to do is hit that little flipper on that toilet bowl and just wash yourself away and you'll say, whoa! Heavenly Father, God has supplied you and I. God gave us water. We never stopped to thank Him. But He's reminding them that when you come into that land, and salvation brings us into a land. It brings us into a land of God. It brings us into a world of God. And God gives us everything. We've never even had to think about water. It was always there. You say, why? Because God gave it to you. He gave us that water. Look in verse number 10. And when thou hast eaten and are full. Hey, we're Baptists. The Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body daily. Hey, nothing like eating, man. Eating's fun. You know what nutritionists say today? These nutritionists say, don't eat till you're full. Push away from the table before you're full. You know what that verse says? When thou art eaten and are full. Wow! So there ain't nothing like eating till you're full. Don't tell me. No, don't tell me. You that all eat that herbs and stuff. Y'all missing it. You can't get full on herbs and salads. There ain't nothing like eating till you're full. But God wants you and I to bow our head and thank Him that you and I can eat 3 times a day with snacks. God gave us that food. Don't forget to thank Him when you go to that refrigerator. And you open that refrigerator up, it's just full. Open up that little pantry, and the pantry, all them shelves are just full of food. Walk out that back door, and there's a backyard grill. Walk into a restaurant. There's a waiter that'll wait on you, just bring it to you. Fast foods, if you don't want to wait, you can go in there in 5 minutes and get your chicken nuggets. Taquerias and tacos. Whataburgers. Nolan Ryan, all beef wieners. God has supplied you and I with all the food anytime we want. And God wants you to know, I'm the one that did that. And how many of us bow our heads reap right where that food is and just say, Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these and all of the blessings for Christ's sake. Amen. God, give us that food. We don't want to become unthankful. He's given us everything. Look at verse 9. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarce. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. God has supplied you and I with stones and irons and metals to build highways, to build buildings that we can work in, to build weapons and cars and highways and industries. That God has done that. He's given us everything we need to build a church. God supplied all the material. It's in the earth. Look at verse 13. Who led thee through the great... And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. Money. We got money. You say, where'd you get that money? He said, I work for it. I'm going to show you in a minute. God has supplied you with that money. Every dime you got, God gave it. He gave you every dollar. He gave you the coins, the 50-cent pieces, the quarters, the dimes, the nickels, the pennies. He gave you banks to keep your money. He gave you Wall Street stocks. He gave you billfolds to even carry money in. He gave you checkbooks to write a check. He gave you credit cards to get it now and pay for it later. He gave you debit cards. He gave you bank accounts, 401ks. Heavenly Father, accept our thanks for these and all of the blessings for Christ's sake. Amen. That God would think enough of you and I to give us money. And you're going to find out. You know what He's telling them? He said, when you come into that land, He said, I'm going to supply you with silver and gold. I'm going to multiply it. And we're all sitting here this morning and we got some money. And you're going to find out one day that God Almighty gave you that. And here's my favorite one in verse 12. The best of all. Least when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built a goodly house and dwelt therein. You know what God wants to make sure that you and I have? A goodly house. You got a home. A home that's got a wife and children. A home that's got a mom and a dad. A husband and a wife. A home that's got people that love each other. Brothers and sisters. And children and playing. I got a goodly home. I love to go home. I got my wife. I love to go home. I got peace in my house. I got joy in my house. A house that's got beds that you can lay down and rest. It's got your easy chair that you can sit down and get comfortable. Curtain hangings to make it beautiful. A kitchen to cook in. You know, everybody buys these Febreze and air fresheners, and they got their house smelling like tulips. Can I tell you, kitchen perfume smells much better than that. There's nothing like walking in a house that smells the kitchen, the aroma has filled the house. That's home. I don't want to go to a flower garden. I want to go home. I want fried potatoes with garlic and onions cooking. I want my house to smell like home. a goodly house, flower beds and front lawns, a family table to sit at, a pet with a name, ceiling fans, AC, a goodly house. That's what I want. God said, that's what I want. And He said, I want you to have that. God give you a goodly house. God wants to be thanked for giving you these things. Continually. Every day. Every morning. Look how He closes this out. You still with me? Look at verse 17. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hands hath gotten me all this. It's got me all this wealth to buy all this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee the power to get wealth. It's God. God's done this for you, mama. Boy, girl, God has done this for you. That He may establish His covenant which He swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be that if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and you just don't thank Him for what He's done, and you walk after other gods and you serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. That you may end up losing everything you've got. Because God giveth and God taketh away. That's what Job said. And everything that you and I have today, God gave it. The clothes on your back. The food you ate. The water you drank. The money in your pocket. The home you're going to go home to. God gave it. The day I went to that home on July the 8th, 1956, the old man that raised me and my wife, he took a picture of me. He took a picture of my wife and her three sisters the day they got there. And those pictures, the one of me and my little brother on July the 8th, 1956, little burr-headed boy with a raggedy T-shirt and Davy Crockett shorts, it hangs on my wall. Right in front of the chair that I sit before the Lord every morning. And I look at a little old boy that had lost everything. He lost his mom and his dad and his home. He's just lost it all. But I watch God give it all back. And I look up there at that little old boy and I say, boy, God's been good to you, fella. And sitting in our living room with my wife and her little sisters the day they came in 1964. Hair's all a mess. Looked like a beehive. Like bees had got in there. It's just a mess, just like all of us. All of us orphan kids were just a mess. God has took care of us. He's took care of me. He's took care of you. And God wants to be thanked every day. If you thank God every day, you'll find that your relationship with Him will grow closer and closer and closer. If you just thank Him. Piano prayer, would you come? Oh, you're here. Would you bow your heads with me while she plays? Amazing Grace is fine, man. Can I give you an invitation, church? God's house, God's people. How would you like to just get down on your knees and say, God, I haven't thanked you like I should. But, oh, I want to thank you today for everything you've done for me. As she plays, I wonder if you'd come and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I want to thank you for what you've given me. I want to thank you for how you took care of me. I want to thank you. I'd have nothing today if it wasn't for you. My old sinful life would have robbed me of everything. But you don't have a thing, sir. And you don't have a thing, ma'am, that God Almighty didn't give you. Oh, I'm telling you, God wanted them to come every morning, every day, for the rest of their life, and say thank you for what I've given you. Wonder if you'd start today. Thank you, Lord, for Mom and Dad. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my goodly home. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is amazing grace, my friend, that God would be so good to somebody like you and I. And you know yourself better than I do.